Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the Flathead National Forest Supervisor's retirement, the Craig Wilson Symposium, and an update on the tensions surrounding a video from Valier High School. It's Tuesday, October 22nd. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. The Montana Democratic Party will soon start searching for a new executive director. Montana Public Radio's Edward O'Brien reports.
Monica Lindeen will step down from her post as executive director of the Montana Democratic Party by year's end.
You know, I think it's time that somebody else step into a position like this.
It's been just over 10 months since Lindeen stepped in to replace her predecessor, Nancy Keenan. Before taking on leadership of the state party, Lindeen served 8 years as the state commissioner of securities and insurance. She also served 8 years in the state legislature. In 2016, she lost the race for Secretary of State to Republican Corey Stapleton. Lindeen chalks up her decision to move on to a simple, quote, life transition.
Well, you know, I've been doing Democratic politics either as a elected official or a party official for almost 24 years now. You never know how long you're going to stay for sure. I think probably I had planned to stay through the entire election cycle, but you know, other opportunities come along sometimes in life, and you know when it's time to do it.
Those other opportunities?
Well, I'm not at liberty to say at this point in time.
Lindeen hints, however, they may involve issues she says are important to her, such as healthcare access and helping Montana's small businesses. So does that mean another stab at elected office?
No. No. You know, I think I'm done running for office. My family has been so generous in supporting me in all these years. I've given my service to Montana, and I've been proud and honored to do so, but I think it's time for other people to run for office and do good things.
Lindeen says party officials will likely select her replacement within 2 to 3 months. Edward O'Brien, Montana Public Radio.
Flathead National Forest Supervisor Chip Weber announced yesterday that he will retire in 2020, ending his 30-year career with the U.S. Forest Service. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
Weber began his decades-long career with the Forest Service, working on an ecology crew in southwest Oregon. He eventually went on to become a resource specialist on the Hoosier National Forest in Indiana and held 2 district ranger positions in southeast Alaska and again in Oregon. He became the forest supervisor for the Flathead National Forest in 2010 and says he knew Montana was the place he wanted to retire.
What spurred it? Well, mostly I would say it's because I'm still healthy enough to go up one side of the mountain and down the other doing the pursuits I like to do in the outdoors and wanted to have time to do that. And the job that I'm in is a very busy job, so I don't get as much time as I'd like.
Weber has seen many projects to completion during his nearly 10 years as Flathead National Forest Supervisor. The most notable was the Forest Management Plan, which dictates everything from how timber sales are conducted to recreation on the forest. The plan passed in December of 2018.
You know, I think what I'm most proud of with our forest plan is we didn't sort of give in to individual special interests that wanted one thing or another. We really tried to balance the values that were going to come off of this forest and that were going to be enjoyed on this forest across the range of values that exist in society.
Weber is due to retire January 1st of next year. The Flathead National Forest hopes to have his replacement on board before he leaves his post. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
The Glacier National Park Conservancy plans to spend $2.5 million to support 75 preservation, education, and research projects in the Montana Park next year. The projects to be funded by the park's nonprofit fundraising arm include a citizen science program that lets scientists use data collected by volunteer visitors who spread out across the vast park. They also include the park's first social media summit and research on Canada lynx, elk, rare plants, and water quality. Democracy and political participation are the themes of a three-day symposium this week on the Montana State University Billings campus. Kay Erickson has the details.
Political science professor Paul Pope says more people need to be involved in politics, from voting to asking questions of their representatives. He says civic participation is a foundation of our democracy.
That's what really makes our whole system function, and without it, it doesn't function well. And you know, we've been struggling for the last many decades because of this. My hope is that it'll help people care a little more about, participating and see the value in that.
The Craig Wilson Symposium is named in honor of longtime poli-sci professor and media political commentator Craig Wilson. It kicks off Wednesday afternoon with the release of the results of the Mountain States poll, a faculty-led student telephone survey Wilson started nearly 30 years ago. This week's keynote speaker is former Billings Mayor Chuck Tooley, who will address political participation in Montana Thursday afternoon. His address will be followed by a panel of former and current legislators, Jeff Essman, Dave Wansenreed, and Kathy Kelker. A Thursday morning discussion on political participation in America will be with a panel of academics from MSUB and Rocky Mountain College. Organizer Paul Pope says the Craig Wilson Symposium will be an annual October event, the topic changing each year, and will coincide with the release of the Mountain State poll. This year's event is Wednesday afternoon through Friday morning in the Student Union's Glacier Room on the MSU Billings campus. It's free and open to the public. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Kay Erickson.
The Southern Montana resort community of Big Sky is getting a new $416 million luxury resort soon. The Billings Gazette reports the new Montage Big Sky Resort is under construction in the private Spanish Peaks Mountain Club and is projected to open in 2021. The resort will include 150 guest rooms, 39 residences, an expansive 16,000 square foot spa, and a private 18-hole golf course. When completed, the structure will encompass 520,000 square feet. That's slightly larger than a lodge being built at the nearby Yellowstone Club. Big Sky Chamber CEO Candace Carr Strauss says Montage will add to an already existing 1,500 lodging units available nightly in the area. After a video that some say depicts Native Americans in a reductive light was shown at a pep rally at a northern Montana high school a few weeks ago, two school districts are grappling with which matters more, intent or interpretation. Olivia Reingold reports.
Unfair, unwarranted, and inaccurate. That's how Valier High School Superintendent Julie Gaffney describes the outrage over student-made video.
You can't control how people take things.
3 weeks ago, Valier freshmen put together a video of their homecoming game against Hart Butte High School. One scene showed a fair-skinned girl in a feathered headband, braids, and a red skirt falling into a bank of snow after getting shot. The video was posted on Facebook the day after the pep rally. The backlash was immediate. Commentators said things like the video was, quote, very rude, disrespectful. Others said it was, quote, blown out of proportion. In a press release, Valier Superintendent Gaffney said the school would look into the video. This is the first time Yellowstone Public Radio has spoken to her since her investigation concluded last week. She says she didn't know red dresses were an international symbol for missing and murdered Indigenous women, and neither did her freshman students when they made the video for their game against Hart Butte. It's a school on the Blackfeet Reservation and is all Native except for two students. Compare that to Valier, which is just outside the reservation and majority white. Gaffney says it's a Valier tradition for each class to make themed videos for homecoming. For this year's freshmen, the theme was the 4th of July. She says their concept was to portray a Revolutionary War tussle between the British and colonists, with the British being Hart Butte and the colonists being Valier. That's why a Valier student wore traditional Native garb to symbolize the other team, the Hart Butte Warriors.
The video was not made to humiliate the MMIW or embarrass, it wasn't that.
She says she can't control that people took it that way. The way she sees it, it's not her job or in her control to change how people feel. I think that Hart Butte thinks you do. I think they want an apology for the accidental offense. I think that that is something that is within your control. Is that something you'd be interested in doing or saying?
I think I expressed myself very clearly how I felt in the article that I wrote.
Okay. And I guess just to confirm, there's no apology in here. So that
no,
is...
No, I'm not... That, you know, I don't want you putting... You can't put in the paper that I said, no, we're not coming forth with an apology. That just, to me, is not...
Well, I guess let me know what you're...
What this is all about. So, you know...
Well, please help me understand.
I believe is I let the stakeholders understand. And so, to me, the only people that I really need to be answering to would be the student, you know, the students at Hart Butte. And the best vehicle for that, I feel, is to give our students an opportunity to at some point process this.
Hart Butte Superintendent Mike Tatsy says he sent an invitation to Valier for the student bodies to get together for a talking circle, but didn't hear back. He says he's not in control of their response. If they don't want to get together, he can't force them.
When we want to help somebody, we pray for them. We're, as Native Americans, that's all we can do is just ask the Creator to help people understand, you know, our situation.
The situation he's talking about is missing and murdered Indigenous people. Ashley Loring Heavy Runner, a Blackfeet tribal member, has been missing for more than a year. Tatsy says she went to Hart Butte, and that's the sort of thing he says the Valier administration
could do a better job of understanding what's in the community and what's nearby.
He says Valier is less than 10 miles from the Blackfeet Nation and that there are billboards about missing and murdered Indigenous people nearby in Conrad. But Tatsy says it's okay the school made a mistake in this instance. He's looking for...
And a simple, you know, we're sorry we didn't know that, even though that wasn't our intent, that was the impression that people got.
He says he knows they didn't do it on purpose, and he doesn't expect the school to admit that. All he wants is an apology. But since he's not sure that's coming, he says he'll keep praying for people who don't understand Native culture and history. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Olivia Reingold.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you, early birds, tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.